Here we go. All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome back once again to the Great Scott Podcast. Today, I am joined by legendary actor and author of the book True Strength, My Journey from Hercules to Mere Mortal and How Nearly Dying Saved My Life. I'm pleased to welcome Mr. Kevin Sorbo. How's it going, Kevin?
I love that. You know, when they came out with the soft cover, I wasn't happy what they did to the back. I said, why wouldn't you put the people that endorsed it on the hardcover book on the back of the paperback? Because they put, like, I don't know, different news outlets saying this or that about the book. To me, I think people are more interested in what Meatloaf or Joe Pesci or people like that have to say.
I know. I'm reading the back of it. Yeah, you had Ray Romano, you had Meatloaf, Brett Michaels, and I have a
I
new
know.
Picture. Yeah.
And they don't do that in the paperback one. What were you guys thinking? That's just, they don't even ask me, which is weird. I don't think anyone cares about the Star Post saying something about it. So
and,
weird.
And I now have a new appreciation for Joe Pesci after reading your book.
I've known Joe for, I've known Joe for 30, 35 years now.
And the way you guys meet, and you actually start off the book with how you guys meet.
I reminded him of that because he said, yeah, it sounds like something I'd effing say. He says the F bomb in every sentence.
Yep, that sounds like Joe. Yep.
Well, it's just the way the guy talks, but I tell you, he's got a big heart. He's a good guy.
And so someone wanted me to ask you, Kevin, before we dive into the book here,
sure.
One of my friends here wanted me to ask you about something called Brave New Books. Is that a campaign you do?
Brave Books. Hold on here. I got it right here. Let me see if I can find it. I know I got one. What did I do? Oh, here it is. Brave Books, The Test of Lionhood.
The Test of Lionhood.
Brave Books does great stuff. They do books for 4 to 11 year olds, and they're filled with positive messages, good family, good, just solid sort of messages that the books they're showing the kids today in these grade schools are so ridiculous. These are books with good storylines and good positive messages for kids.
Yeah, someone made to ask you about that, and they now got hooked on it from once they saw it.
Yeah, my new one comes out June, and it deals with fatherhood. Father's
okay.
Day is
yeah,
that
Father's Day,
as
yeah.
well. So it's a good book for kids, and they can go to bravebooks.com and sign up right now and get my book, an autographed copy of my book, if they join for a year.
And I also want to say Happy Easter to you. Happy early Easter. I know that just like me, you're a man of deep faith.
Yep.
And someone also wanted me to ask you, how did you come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior?
I grew up that way my whole life. I grew up in a small town in Minnesota, west of Minneapolis, about 30 miles west, 25 miles west. And I grew up in a Lutheran household, typical Scandinavian. I'm second generation Norwegian in America. And I was just always there. I went non-denominational after I got into college for many years. And then now my wife and I, the last 15 years, have been with the Calvary Church. And it's always been me with me. It's just part of my life. I never stopped believing that there was and that man named Jesus. Even the greatest atheists of the world that talk about don't believe in God, they don't deny that a Jesus did walk this earth. You know, there's too many records on this man walking in the Middle East. But I've always believed that something started the universe. It wasn't you or me.
Yeah, absolutely. My dad is actually on a internet Facebook group called Cats, Christians, Atheists, Thinkers and Skeptics, trying to get people to believe that Jesus is who he says he is.
Sure.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very
Yeah.
cool. You know, I've done a lot of movies in that world. You know, What If God's Not Dead, Soul Surfer, Let There Be Light. My two last year, Left Behind, Rise of the Antichrist, based on the Left Behind books Jerry Jenkins wrote, and then Miracle in East Texas. And I've got another four that are coming out this year. They're all in post-production right now. Two are secular movies, but I've always wanted to do, I got a very comedy, very funny comedy dealing. I play a 700-year-old vampire.
700-year-old
game. There's another one where it's a zombie movie, but it's like in the vein of Zombieland. It's very funny. It's all tongue-in-cheek.
So diving into the book now, you actually are very lucky to be alive today from all that's happened to you. I also want to say I just had a cousin who had a blood clot here not that long ago, said it was the most painful thing that he's ever been through. And he's like 16, 17 years old, or he may be a little bit older, but somewhere around that neighborhood.
Did he take the COVID shots?
I think so.
If he did that increased his chance. I mean, they're not admitting it completely, but when you have an 800% higher death rate of kids in the teenage years than they've had in any other previous years, And coincidence with these kids are taking shots and all these kids dying from myocarditis and blood clots. I mean, but let's not talk about that. We don't want, that's why we're shirts like this, freedom over fear, because
Freedom over
everybody's
fear, exactly.
afraid. And that's government's favorite weapon, is to have fear over and control people's lives.
I mean, but you've in the book, you've pretty much been through it all. Like I said, blood clots, you've had three strokes that didn't show up on an X-ray, you had slurred speech. And how did you survive
It
with that?
actually showed up on the second X-ray. Usually,
On the
when you have
second.
when you suffer strokes, it doesn't show up right away on the angio. So when they did it the second time, then you could see them. It took me a while. It took me. I had an aneurysm that was way up here in my left shoulder. And it was right next to the artery that feeds into the brain, and but the blood flow comes out the opposite way, and it was spilling clots off into my left hand and my arm. I was getting numb, cold fingers. And then when a chiropractor cracked my neck, who's never cracked my neck before, and I heard a voice saying, "Don't let him crack your neck," which is weird, because in 8 years he's never cracked my neck, because I don't like my neck cracked. He cracked it,
Yeah.
boom. And neurologists call it retrograde flow, where for just a second, the blood went the other way with that crack, that vicious crack, and it sent these clots, four clots actually, into my brain. My speech came back rather quickly, but it took me four months to really learn how to even walk and balance again. And I had quite a bit of loss of vision, almost 50% loss of vision in both eyes. I have 10% now to this day. And it took me 3 years to fully recover. I know that there's still things going on inside of me that I couldn't do before, that I can't do today now, but most people wouldn't be able to tell, but I know what they are.
And so when you were going through this and being the deep man of faith that you are, did you ever wrestle with God saying like, why God, why? I
Oh
mean,
yeah, I think everybody goes through that and say, why me? My career was really booming. Hercules was the most watched show in the world in 176 countries. I just finished my first big budget movie called Call of Conqueror. I was just about to start another one with a very big payday on top of it. Of course, I got sick and lost that payday and lost the movie, but that lost attraction of my career as well. But yeah, I went through that battle with God and realized that it wasn't his fault it happened. God never promised any of us an easy life. We're always going to have roadblocks in our life. It's how do you react to that roadblock? You're going to blame God, blame a God you don't believe in. You're going to blame family, friends, the government, the world. No, the reality is you got to look in the mirror. And that's where the problem is, I say. As my wife always said, Kevin, it happened. What are you going to do about it?
And do you ever think that life just balances out as well? I mean, you did just get Hercules by that point, and then you just had this happen. So do you think that good and bad equal itself out in life?
I don't know. That's interesting. I've never been asked that. I've been asked that question before. I think there's a yin and a yin and a yang, or whatever they call it, and stuff like that. And I think there's good things that happen, bad things that happen. But I think if you live in a life of negativity and filled with hate and anger, I think you have nothing but mostly bad stuff happen to you. You know, it's we have so many people filled with hate and anger right now that want to go after you, go after me. These trolls that are out there that hate who they are, and they're just gonna be vicious towards people that aren't in the same camp they are, and they want to drag you into the black hole they live in. You know, the negativity I get on Twitter, I could care less. That life, that those people don't affect my life whatsoever. I feel sorry for these people, because I don't harbor that kind of anger and hatred to somebody who has a different point of view. If you have a different political point of view or a different religious point of view, I don't care. It doesn't affect my life. I mean, if you want to have a civil conversation about it, I'm all for it. But they figure if they yell at you louder, that they're right. That's really not the case. So to me, it's like, I'm gonna keep doing the stuff I do that hopefully the movies that I've been doing and the life I've been leading, it gives people hope. I think the biggest thing we're missing in our world now is hope. There's so much apathy, so much hatred, that it's, it's vicious how bad it's got politically, not only America, but the world. It's crazy.
And that's why you got kicked out of Hollywood too, if I'm not mistaken, because you got
Yeah, God forbid
Trump in
I'm a
and
conservative and a Christian. That's like kryptonite to Hollywood. They can't stand that. That drives them absolutely crazy. And I think it's just funny. I look at the other side, the left, as these little seventh grade girls that are just catty and just gossipy and just filled with, just it's in their little clique. They're so immature. It's amazing to me that these people, why don't you do something creative in your life? Why don't you do something that's more positive in your life? Because it can't be good or healthy to be in crappy mood all the time. And that's all they have is their hate and their anger. I mean, BLM, Antifa, marching down the streets, burning down cop cars, breaking people's businesses, attacking people with baseball bats and tire irons. And our governments let this happen? I'm telling you what, if I'm the president, I'm calling the National Guard, I'm calling the Army, we're going to fill these cities and say enough is enough. And you're going to arrest every one of these punks and you're going to keep them in jail, not let them go back out and keep doing it. But that's what we're doing. So what is going on? Give me the answer to why that our government is allowing these people to go in and shoplift all they want as well. I mean, it's unbelievably stupid what we're doing and letting over 10 million people across the border in 3 years. Thanks, Joe Biden, you idiot. I mean, what's incredible that we're allowing this to happen, and we're going to have a massive 9/11 in this country happening, like 30 major cities all at the same time. You mark my words. We're blighting on so many evil people in this country that hate what we are and what we represent.
Well, luckily we have a November election coming in, and it's going to be a rematch of Trump and Biden.
Well, Biden won the last time. There's no way. Am I election denier? You better believe I am. There's no way Biden got 15 million more votes than Obama did in 2008. Are you kidding me? This guy sat in his basement the whole time during COVID. If he did go out, 50 people showed up, and that's not an exaggeration. Trump goes out, 50,000 people show up wherever he goes. I mean, there's just no way this guy got more votes than Obama got. There's no possible way. I mean, he's a buffoon. If this guy was a Republican, the press would be all over him, and Hunter Biden would be in jail right now. It's amazing how one-sided our law system is, and it's blatantly obvious, but people are just lazy and idiots and don't see it.
Now, going back to Hercules for just a moment, is that the actual sword behind you that you used in Hercules?
That was after the very last episode after 7 years on that. The props department gave that to me. It was 7 years of my life down in New Zealand. It was such a great chapter of my life, other than the strokes. The last 2 years in the show were a little bit more tougher for me, but it says, it's got the years on it, the 7 years in the 90s that we shot Hercules, and it says to Kevin Sorbo that the journey may be over, but the legend lives on. And most of
Amazing.
my crew, about 80%, went on to work on Lord of the Rings, and they all went on to win Academy Awards for props, for the visual effects the Weta guys did, for wardrobe, cinematography, all that. It's pretty cool.
And even before Hercules, you were up for another major role that you had almost gotten, but it went to a friend of yours.
Yeah. Dean
Superman.
Cain.
Yeah,
Dean Cain.
Superman,
I
yeah.
actually got the role. Dean and I were the last two. We did a screen test with Terry Hatcher. I got a call that night saying I got the role, and 24 hours later, Warner Brothers called up and said, "Now we can change your mind. We're going Dean Cain." So to talk about the ups, and the lows of the industry, I was devastated. I was angry too. But it's just, you just kind of go, "How do you guys do that to people?" But they do it to actors all the time. But 3 months later, I got Hercules, and as I say to Dean, I said, "Your show went, 3 years and got canceled. My show in 7 years became the most watched TV show in the world, so I'm okay."
I've actually had Dean Cain on. Dean is a great guy.
Dean's a great guy. We
Oh, absolutely.
were both in God's Not Dead together. We've got a couple of little independent movies coming out later this year that we shot. And there you go, God's Not Dead, the four movie collection. So I got to brag. My movie was the first one made more money than all those other three combined, yet made more money than all the movies PureFlix did combined. That $2 million budget made $140 million. I
Wow.
didn't own the money, unfortunately. I got paid as an actor on that $2 million budget. So, but it was a great, obviously a wonderful movie, and it was a lot of fun to be part of.
And I think Shane did a great job because he's the
Great
one
job.
who,
Shane Walker did a wonderful job.
Shane did great. Yeah.
Yep.
And so also you had worked with a gentleman in Hollywood named Gene Roddenberry. Did you ever get
I
to
didn't get to work with Gene because Gene had passed away in the early 90s.
Oh.
He wrote the series. He wrote Andromeda in 1969 when the original Star Trek series was canceled after just 3 seasons. I think a lot of people don't realize that. That show only went 3 seasons. So Majel Roddenberry's widow called me in the 7th year of Hercules and said, "My husband is still alive. I can't think of a better person than you to play the first captain he created after Captain Kirk. So I was Captain Dylan Hunt, and it was a wonderful, we had a 5-year run with that that did very well. We should have had 2 more years on it, but the company that owned the Tribune Company out of Chicago declared bankruptcy with all their other investments, or causing them troubles. We were the number one show in first run syndication, but with a bankruptcy, you have to freeze all your assets. So we got screwed out of 44 more episodes.
Was there ever any talk of doing those extra episodes or in future down the
Well,
road?
you know, impeachments, you know, I mean, you know, when you got bankruptcies, lawyers on both sides, there's always collusion with lawyers,
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
made for both of them. So they kept that in court for 6 years before it was.
Wow.
So yeah, so you gotta love our lawyers and how they work, because it's a very upstanding, honest profession.
But also another thing, good thing happened to you while on the set of Hercules, you had met your wife, Sam Sorbo.
At the end of season 4, she came on to guest star on the show a
Yeah.
year before I got sick, and it was a love at first kind of sight kind of thing for both of us. And we got engaged 6 months after we met, but it was really only we only had known each other for about 2.5 months, because she was shooting. I was in New Zealand. She was filming. She was on Chicago Hope. Chicago Hope and ER came out about the same time. Those they did come out the same time. So we didn't, you know, she's in LA, I'm in New Zealand, but we got engaged and got married, and now it's been 26 years and we got 3 kids.
And that was your desire, was to be a father, because I read in the book, Lord, please let me stay and be a father, because that was one of your main heart's desires.
No question. I mean, I thought I was going to die. I knew I'd suffered strokes. My wife was dragging me into the ER at Cedars-Sinai there in downtown Beverly Hills area. And I remember it was the same day Princess Di died. And I just remember looking at this beautiful September blue sky day. And I was like, this sucks. I always thought I was gonna get married and have kids and be a grandfather and all that. You know, it was just weird. I was incredibly calm. It was strange. I don't, maybe I was in shock, I don't know, but it was incredibly calming for me to sit there and have that sort of prayer with God to myself. But obviously, he had different plans for me.
Yeah. And also, you had mentioned movies earlier. Hercules, you had filmed three movies, I think, before Hercules became an actual TV show.
Yeah, we were booked for 5 movies. It was always going to be 5 movies. I was a year in New Zealand. Anthony Quinn played Zeus. For those young people who don't know who Anthony Quinn is, he's one of the golden stars of the golden age of
Absolutely.
Hollywood. He was nominated, I think, 6 times for Academy Awards. He won twice. He's in movies like Lawrence of Arabia, Guns of Navarone, Zorba the Greek, just so many wonderful movies. And in the middle of the third movie, my manager called and said, Universal loves what they see. They're going to make it into a TV series. So it was pretty exciting, because I love doing the show and I love playing the character.
Has there ever been any talk of doing a reunion show at all?
I think we're all too old for it now. To
Oh, okay.
it finished over what, 20, 23 years ago now. So I'm sure they'll redo it somehow, but they'll find a way to wreck it. You know, they'll make Hercules a transgender or something. I don't know.
I was reading how they were going to remake the Golden Girls next with
Oh.
four different ladies, yeah.
You know what? It's interesting in Hollywood that they can't be more creative. All they do is tap into stuff that was successful before and hope that it still works again. And you know, you would think there'd be more writers out there wanting to be more creative and coming up with original material. Everything borrows anyway. Every sitcom sort of has the same sort of rules to it, but
Yeah.
they're not identical, you know.
Right. And I see that a lot of the ideas come out of the Bible as well. I mean, they get a lot of their ideas from the Bible.
Well, Hollywood used to make nothing but, you know, family movies, and did a lot of biblical movies. The 1960s sort of changed everything. They took the, you know, they took the Bible out of the schools. They took. It's interesting because our country was completely founded by Christian men, God-fearing men. And when they wrote the founding fathers, when they were brilliant, by the way, when they wrote a constitution, it was unbelievable. And they knew at that time they were committing treason against the British monarchy, which I laughed on, because you know it was like a 2% tax amongst other things that the Brits were doing. It is so much more horrible what our government is doing to American citizens now, and we just sit around and go, well, what can we do? I mean, it's really, really, really crazy what I'm seeing going on in America right now, and how people just sit around and shake their heads and be, you know, just filled with apathy.
It'll be interesting to see what America's like in 20, 25 years
I
from
feel
the
bad for my
moment.
kids, I gotta tell you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have one more question for you, Kevin, and
Sure.
you've been more than kind with your time. And what advice do you give to someone who wants to get into the whole acting game?
Don't do it. But if you are going to do it, I would say number one, don't let anyone set your limitations, especially yourself. Stick to your guns, stick to your morals, stick to your values. It's an evil town. It really is. It's an organized mafia. That's what Hollywood really is. When they booted me out, I just formed Sorbo Studios. I encourage everyone to go to sorbostudios.com and get all the information that my wife and I have going on. We got upcoming projects, we got books, we got appearances, we've got information on everything we've done in the past as well. So I hope people go there, but do it because you love it. Don't do it because you think you're famous, because the truth is most of you will not. I think of all the people when I first moved out to LA in my 20s that I knew, there's just a handful that are still in the business. 95% of them are gone. They've gone to sell cars or real estate or whatever. But it's a tough business and you got to stick with it. Don't expect things to happen overnight. But we live in a very self-serving, self-gratifying, egotistical world right now. And people want to be famous right now. It doesn't happen that way. I mean, be grateful if you're able to make any kind of living at this industry, because it ain't easy to make a living at it.
Absolutely. You said that lightning had struck you more than once, and that you were lucky to get that hit TV show and then
Yeah.
even be number one in the world.
Well, you know what? I got to tell you, Michael, I'm a 13-year overnight success.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, 13 years, only see. But anyways, well, thank you, Kevin. God bless you, sir,
My
and
pleasure.
thank you so much for your time.
All right. Take care. All the best.